When I tell a story, I like to ground it in something universal, at least something that most everyone can identify with. So for this story, I've decided on body hair. Body hair. Not something you usually talk about in mixed company. Mixed company. Mixed genders. Gender. Something we used to call sex. But you can get into trouble for telling about sex. So mixed genders, men and women together. Mixed races. Mixed ages. Older and younger together. I can talk to my women friends, my cronies, youngish crones. I can talk to them all night about body hair. Maybe not. Still, you'd think twice about telling a group of ladies of mixed ages about body hair. What would your parents think? What would your kids think? What would your spouse think if they knew you were listening to someone expostulating on body hair? This story isn't really about body hair. I might mention it, but let me start again. Storytellers tell folk tales from many different lands. They tell family stories. They tell personal experience stories. But I think, why would anyone want to hear my personal experience story? Yet these are the stories that I tend to like the best when I hear a teller telling. So I have to ask myself, do I want to reveal myself in a personal experience story? Maybe I could reveal part of myself. My legs. These are working legs. Hard working legs. I've been called skinny before. Hey, skinny bones! But nobody has ever called me skinny legs. Hey, twig limbs! Never. I had a boyfriend once who called them sturdy legs. He'd slap my thigh and say, sturdy legs. They are Czech peasant legs, and they have been worked and honed in their day. The one on the left is Thor, and the one on the right is Esmeralda. There's a reason for this. Thor is the working leg, the manual laborer, the husband, the yang leg. And Esmeralda is the exalted wife, the yin leg. When I was 15 years old and skiing in Wisconsin with friends, but not exactly staying at the ski lodge, we were taking advantage of the heated swimming pool nevertheless. We were going outside, doing somersaults in the snow, then coming in through the big heavy door and diving into the warm water. There were boys involved, as I recall, older than 15, 16 maybe, older men. This was an early courting ritual, this rolling in snow and diving in water, but it was cut short when that big heavy door closed on my ankle and whack, there went my Achilles tendon. Well, the in-house doctor put on my ankle the tiniest Band-Aid from the Band-Aid box. I said, no, that wouldn't do. The leg doesn't stay up on the foot. So the on-slope orthopedic surgeon interrupted his skiing to look at my ankle. Sure enough, I was rushed to the hospital in Milwaukee. They wired that tendon back to the bone. I woke up with a cast from toe to crotch. And then there were months of crutches and lots of therapy. I was 15 years old, and I wanted to be a dancer when I grew up. They said, honey, you may never walk again without a limp. I said, huh, with the confidence of a 15-year-old. I was right. I danced. But the right leg never could do what the left leg could do. Thor could work. So I worked him harder and harder. Esmeralda soared into the heavens because she could. Esmeralda could be called to task. She could take me off the ground, but never as high as Thor could. She could land me on the ground, but never as prettily as Thor could. There were days that I cursed Esmeralda. I made her do 100 single-legged releves every day. I stretched her way beyond her limits. But mostly, I coddled her. I wrapped her in saran wrap on the days that she complained, which were many. I gave her daily massages. I got her acupuncture treatments and Feldenkrais, Alexander, Pilates, ultrasound treatments. Still, she never gained the noble stature nor the noble mass that Thor had. Still, Thor and Esmeralda danced me all over the Americas, North, Central, and South America, and Europe. There came a day when I had a performance booked by the St. Cecilia Society in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the town where my parents live. St. Cecilia is the patron saint of music. This is a music society. Now, my dances tended to be athletic affairs, and my legs would be dressed in tights or loose trousers. But there was a piece in the repertory around this time, Cordova, a piece of Spanish angst, which screamed out for a long skirt and bare legs. And there was a section of the piece where the back hem of the skirt was tucked into the front waistline to create sort of a pantaloon affair, leaving my lower legs quite bare. Well, I was a child of the 60s. I ate tofu and drank organic carrot juice and valued all things natural, including body hair. No way was I going to scrape hair from flesh for the sake of fashion. But there was the issue of my mother. I went to the drugstore and bought a jar of Jolene cream bleach and went home and smeared it on the copious dark hair of my legs. I rinsed it off, and there was the goldenest, silkiest, curliest halo of angel hair enveloping each leg. I'd never felt closer to heaven. Saint Thor and Saint Esmeralda. I stayed at my parents' home between performances in Western Michigan, and my mother, aware of my body hair, perhaps nervous about my body hair, came to the technical rehearsal, the lighting rehearsal, for the performance at the St. Cecilia Society. I went home for a light pre-performance dinner, and my mother said, "Patty, shave your legs." "Mama, I dyed it, so you couldn't see it." "I can see it. It looks like a halo." "I know that." I said, "Mama, women have hair. I have to educate the ladies of the St. Cecilia Society and let them know that women have hair." My mother said, "Patty, women have hair. You and me, we're gorillas. Go shave your legs." What could I do? I shaved my legs. This woman of profound wisdom called me into the company of apes, reminding me that I could not simply erase the evidence of our hairy ancestors. But I don't know. Did I let down the ladies of the St. Cecilia Society? They probably already knew that women have hair. And they don't know that my mother and I are gorillas. They were able to identify with me in this piece of Spanish angst, see themselves in me and me in themselves without looking through a veil of unsightly body hair. But I don't know. Maybe there was one lady who missed that halo of body hair. And what about Thor and Esmeralda, stripped of their protective covering, living martyrs? I have mixed feelings about this issue of body hair. Perhaps you, in this mixed company, have mixed feelings about body hair.